did it matter to you as a kid to see yourself in books? Did you get a little bit excited when you met the character of Pippi Longstocking? She had long legs too, and also couldn't understand why you could possibly want to match your socks. Did that make you feel a little bit special? We're talking about that today with the children's books, representation in children's picture books. And with you once again is Dr. Belle Alderman. She is Emeritus Professor of Children's Literature and Director of the National Centre for Children's Literature. Welcome back to Afternoons, Belle.
Thank you, Paula.
And also with Belle, you've brought a special friend.
I have.
Introducing you to a writer, researcher and artist, Sarah Jane McCriskey. Welcome to Afternoons.
Oh, thank you so much. That was actually fantastic pronunciation of my surname.
It sounds relatively innocent saying McCriskey, but if you saw the way it is spelt,
yeah.
Like it's a beautiful name, Sarah Jane, but I've got to admit when I first saw it, I thought that looks like, you know, when they pop up an option for a Wi-Fi password.
Yeah. Polish surnames will do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about representation in children's literature, and this is your specialty field, mm-hmm. Sarah Jane. Why does it matter?
Oh, it matters so much. There are so many reasons why it matters. But I first sort of got into it when I became a foster carer and realised that there are just no picture books about kids like mine or foster families being represented. And then that started me looking at the representation that was available, and there just really wasn't much outside of what we call intact families, which is the official term used by the Australian government to refer to a two-parent family with biological or adopted children. So any family outside of that, so a step family, blended family, adopted family, single-parent family, what have you, are apparently not intact families.
Who comes up with these words?
I know. It's really quite atrocious. And that's why it matters, because you're sort of placing one family type as superior to all others. And then all these other families, they're not seeing themselves represented in books. And representation is just so important for a child's self-worth, for their education, for forming social connections. It just influences so much of their life.
And influences so much. How does it make kids, so say if you've got kids who are from a family where they've got foster parents, what difference does it make to that child when they see something that reflects their experience mm-hmm. in an actual picture book?
Oh, it's an extraordinary experience for a child that might not ordinarily see themselves represented ever, because it's suddenly a feeling of, I belong. You know, I'm part of this too. I'm not excluded. And that's a huge feeling for a child, especially for children from diverse backgrounds and families where they might not normally see themselves represented in media, to finally see themselves and realise that they're not being excluded, that they can be included in that kind of narrative. It's a really important and special thing for them.
You're on Afternoons on ABC Radio Canberra, and we're talking about inclusion and representation in children's books. And with you is Sarah. Sarah Jane McCriskey. She is a writer, researcher and artist. And also with us is Dr. Belle Alderman from the National Centre of Children's Literature. Belle, you're taking us through a few books that really embrace this theme of representation today. What are your top picks?
Well, one is Love Makes a Family by Sophie Beer. Would you agree,
love
Sarah?
Love it. Absolutely love it so much.
What is special about this one, do you think? I mean, this is my favourite.
Yeah. Mine too, actually, I think. It's beautiful. Well, Sophie Beer is an illustrator by trade, and she's written this book too, but her illustrations are so vibrant and fabulous. And on each double-page spread, she shows a different family type. So there's single-parent families, same-sex parented families, grandparent-led families. And what's really great about it is that it doesn't focus on these family differences. It doesn't say, you know, such and such lives with her grandparents or such and such lives with mum only, that kind of thing. It focuses on what really makes a family, which is love.
So the things you have in common.
Love is making a cake, love is having a picnic, and that's the story in it. And it's really beautiful.
It looks beautiful, and it's beautiful, bright colours as well, and a board book too.
Mm.
And what's the story of it? Or is it just pretty much going through those?
It's almost like, you know, a day by day. What is life like? Getting up in the morning, getting dressed, having a bath, making a cake, going to school. So there are very few words in this book because it's obviously aimed at very young children. But it's a great discussion starter, too, because there's so much going on in the illustrations. They're very busy and they're very child-oriented, too. Mm. All the little things in there, you think, oh, I wonder what that is. So it's a perfect book.
It is.
The two of you are starting strong. I mean, you're starting with Love Makes a Family, top pick for both of you.
So gorgeous.
So where are we going to go from here? Tell me about Family Forest.
Oh, I love Family Forest as well. Okay, to be fair, I am a little bit biased because this is what I do, isn't it? I research amazing, diverse picture books. But Family Forest is written by Kim Kane. And this one is a lot less ambiguous in the sense that it is about a specific family. So we have one child, a young boy, who starts talking about what makes his family. And he's got a half-sister, for example. And so it says, you know, Eliza is my half-sister. And then there's a picture of her where there's only one half of her body shown. And, of course, then it's, well, no, not like that. She has a right leg. She has a right arm, that kind of thing. And so it's a humorous way of looking at these terms that we use for family diversity. So having a half sibling, or he says he's got a stepmother later, and he shows her as a staircase. And then as like an evil witch from a fairy tale.
Like the Brady Bunch?
Yeah. And it's just a really sweet book that looks at this one particular family and the many different family dynamics that make the one family. And I really love that because I think that's a really important thing to show because so many families have more than one type of diversity within them, you know. And that really kind of encapsulates that, which is really, really good.
We're going through picture books for children here on ABC Radio Canberra. Picture books from children that show the range of families that we have and representation. And we've done Love Makes a Family. Another one that we've just done was Family Forest. Now tell me about Lost Girl.
Lost Girl.
Yes. We have to have one that has an Aboriginal content. And this one really does capture the spirit. So what do you think, Sarah?
Beautiful. It's such a beautiful book. What I really loved, though, in particular, was it tells the story of a girl that's gotten lost and finds her way home. So that's all simple enough. But what's fabulous, because you very, very rarely see it, is that it specifies traditional Aboriginal kinship groups as the family. So she doesn't wander away from her mum and dad. She wanders away from what she says, the mothers, the fathers, the aunties, the uncles, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, because it is an extended group. It is a community. And I just thought that was really powerful to see that written about in a picture book because you don't often see it. And so showing that this is a form of family, this is family diversity, and how important that is to Indigenous identity as well, these kinship groups and community. And so, yeah, absolutely gorgeous book. And she finds her way home with the help of Mother Nature. So it's a really, really lovely story. And she's embraced by her family, like the extended family, when she gets home as well.
Beautifully illustrated as well.
Yeah, stunning, stunning illustrations.
And I just remember with these stories as a kid, you know, the pictures just live with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Picture books, I mean, the writing is one thing, obviously, but you need the illustrations are such a huge component, especially as Belle was saying with Love Makes a Family, where you find illustrations, they're good talking points, you know, because there will be things to look at. How many birds are in this picture? What do you think's happening here? Who do you think that character is? That kind of thing. And you can start amazing conversations with kids from the illustrations in the books. And actually, all the books we've chosen, I think, are really good at that.
I think that is the beauty of a picture book. You not only have the story and the words, but you have the illustrations, and then you have the intersection between the two, so that you've now got another layer, what the story is saying with the words, but what the illustrations are giving you in addition. Picture books, of course, is both of us. We love those.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they are so special. I mean, you and I have talked several times about the need to talk with a child as you're reading and to explain, you know, what do you think is going on? What do you feel? And these books are like that.
And sometimes the child won't notice that, oh, the mum and dad are different colours, but they will notice the pretty bird and maybe they'll look at the mum and dad next time. Mm-hmm. But when there's so much visually for them to be stimulated by, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had a text from Rachel and she's caught on the word that we used before, the intact families. And Rachel makes the point that kids from intact families also need diverse books to show them all kinds signs of wonderful normal in the world.
Yes, excellent point. That is so, so true. Having diverse representation is equally important for people from the so-called intact families as it is from diverse families, because it's about, as Belle and I were talking about before, windows and mirrors. Mm. You need windows into worlds, you need mirrors reflected back at you in these books.
That's a nice way of seeing it.
Windows, I wish I could mirrors. Say I coined it, actually, but yeah, no, Dr. Rudin Sims Bishop coined that phrase, and it's absolutely fabulous.
See, as soon as you say windows, I'm taken way back to play school. It's all a good thing. On Afternoons, we're going through some of the books that really reflect diversity and show that representation does matter when we're dealing with children's literature. Now, Belle and Sarah Jane, Christmas at Granddad's Farm, what's going on there?
Well, Christmas at Granddad's Farm, and there's also Christmas at Grandma's Beach House. So they're both written by Claire Saxby, and they both take Christmas songs and give them like an Australian angle. But what they both do, especially the Beach House story actually, is through the illustrations show a huge range of diversity within the family unit. And so this book relies on those illustrations to tell that story, because the story itself is the song, like I said, that's been changed to have that Australian feel. And then the illustrations just play out this incredible scene, this big, huge mismatch of family members running around here and there and slopping on sunscreen or swimming in a creek or whatever it is. And it's all very lively and very, very Australian as well, which is really lovely.
And celebrating Christmas at the beach. It's, mm-hmm. that is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Gorgeous books.
And what I like about it, it's full of detail.
Yes.
So you look at the book and you look at a page and you think you've got it all. You turn the page and then you want to go back and look at the page before. What was that character doing before?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that mix and that interaction, and it's sort of like a big mess, you know. And then I found myself singing halfway through the book. I hadn't actually tweaked to the fact that it was a Christmas song until all of a sudden I started jumping up and down. Thinking, this is a song. Wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. I tell you what, when I read these to my kids as well, we sing them. We don't actually say the stories. We sing them, yeah.
Usually when I sing in our household, the kids ask me to be quiet. But so is that four books that you've gone through with us there?
Technically. We've got Christmas at Granddad's Farm and Christmas at Grandma's Beach House. So
yes.
They're the two books by Claire Saxby. They're just, I do, again, biased, but I do love them.
Sarah Jane, you're talking about this, is it this evening? If anyone's interested in finding out more about why representation matters when it's in children's books, Sarah, they can see you speak on this evening?
Yes, that's a very good point. That's it.
It's 4:30. You can rock up at the door and we'll take a little bit of your money. But think what you're going to get. You're going to get a bibliography of these books, 100 of them.
100?
We spent about 8 months hunting down every book in every nook and corner, every shop we could go to. We've ordered them all and we've got 96 of them now. So,
yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so we'll have those on display tonight.
100 books that are
family
good examples
diversity.
Of family diversity.
Yeah.
So you've got this list of 100 books. What do you do with the list? Is it a resource that you provide
Absolutely.
For schools?
Absolutely. We're calling these things resources now, because what we want people to see is, look, you don't have to go and do all this yourself. We've done the research for you. We've put all this together. We're going to put it up on our website after tonight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So anybody
can download it, go to their public library or their school library or their bookshop and say, I want this Christmas at Grandma's Beach
That's
House.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard about it on the radio. It sounds great.
Exactly.
And so we've had a sneak peek, but that's a resource that will be available from tonight. Mm-hmm. And what was the website again, Belle?
It's the ncacl.org.au.
So that's...
And, if you just put in Sarah's name...
good luck with that.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that's the website for the National Centre for Children's Literature. And you put in Sarah's name, and Sarah is Sarah Jane McCriskey, but I'll spell that surname for you. So the surname is spelt M-O-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z-Y-C-K-R-Z- I see. I told you it looked like a Wi-Fi password, but a wonderfully proud Polish surname you have,
yes,
there, Sarah Jane. And thank you to you both for joining us today and telling us more about representation in children's books. It's there's a lot more out there than Moana, that's for sure.
True. Yes.